I appreciate the Lord for the hot tears this morning. I appreciate His presence on His people. You don't get this at a ball game. You don't get this at a fellowship club. We can only experience what we experience gathering together at church. And I appreciate our resurrected Lord. He proves every day of my life that He's very much alive. In your Bibles, the book of 1 Samuel, I'd like to read one verse this morning. It's found in chapter number 3 and verse 10 of 1 Samuel. Chapter 3 and verse number 10. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. You may be seated today. Thank you for standing and honoring the reading of the Word of God. Father, we love you. We thank you for this special time today. Lord, I know that this is in the recesses of my heart that I need to preach right now. And I pray now you let preaching be easy. I pray you'd use us to be a blessing to your people. Oh God, help our nation. God, our community, our homes, our churches. I pray for those on the list that's been mentioned today in our church. Pray, God, you'd help them. I pray now you'd move amongst us by the Spirit of God today. And we'll be careful to thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. This is the fifth message that I've preached on the double names in our Bible. There are only seven or eight that where this happened through all 66 books of the New and the Old Testament of our Bible. We've dealt in days gone by with the thought of Abraham. Abraham, what a Sunday we had. We dealt the next message on Simon, Simon. Then we spoke about Saul, Saul. Last Sunday, we had left and we'd preached on the thought, Martha, Martha. The Lord told Martha that she was too caught up in Mary's work, that she needed to focus on the most needful part. And that was for Martha to sit at His feet and worship. I'm glad we've been able to sit around His feet this morning and worship. But here in the Bible, one of the greatest prophets that God ever called, we see here about His calling. As I began to study this passage out, I become labored in the thought of how in Samuel's call, of how important that his home life was to him and the things in his past that God had used. So I want to preach on this simple thought today on Samuel, Samuel. I want to deal first of all with Samuel's commencement. Secondly, Samuel's church. And then thirdly, on Samuel's call. Notice if we could, let's turn to the left in our Bibles and Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter number 1. Let's read in verses 1 through 2 about Samuel's commitment. Samuel's commencement. How did he come into being? How did he start out in life? Well, we notice that here there was a certain man. That's a very long word. You can pronounce that after church. Of Mount Ephraim. But I've got this word. His name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, and the son of Tahu, and the son of Zuth. He's an Ephrathite. Now watch, he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah. The name of the other, Peniah. Peniah had children. But Hannah had no children. Now this thing of polygamy had surfaced in the Bible. It had multiple wives, started with Lamech, the descendant of Cain. He was the man of blood, and this polygamy, it had always caused issues in the family life. Now we realize that as the law of God persists through the Bible and the New Testament, he simply speaks of a wife. I believe it's still right for a man to have one woman as his wife. And if you want trouble in your marriage, then invite people inside of the boundaries that God has set. And so here we see that Samuel's mother had difficulty. She lived in a home. She was living with a husband that had a wife, and his one wife had children, but Hannah didn't have any children. This was such a heartfelt message from Hannah that she was troubled. She really wanted children. I think that it's in every woman that she really wants children and needs children and loves children. So in Samuel's commencement, we see Hannah's difficulty, but secondly, we see Hannah's distress. It's found in verse 5. The Bible said that unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord did shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as she did so year by year, she went up to the house of the Lord, and so she provoked her, therefore she wept, and she did not eat. Now, in this commencement with Samuel, the way it all got started, we see his mother Hannah had great difficulty, but she also was under great distress. She was ridiculed by this other character in the Bible. Even her husband's other wife ridiculed her and brought it up to her, "You have no children." She was provoked sore. You know, that's just like the devil. The devil loves to accuse people. And when you accuse people, you're no more than anything except like the devil. You need to watch who you accuse. And so here it seemed like that in the story of this Bible, that Peniah, she taunted Hannah. She stayed on her case, so you could understand. She tried to belittle her. And so in this commencement of Samuel, he had a very troubled home life at the start. Hannah appears in the Bible, and we see her difficulty, we see her distress, but I like what she does in verse 10. She had enough. And so now we see her direction. It would all give us great policy and procedure today to see what Hannah did. She was in bitterness of soul, and she prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Aren't you glad you can bring all your troubles to Jesus this morning? When nobody else can listen, there's somebody that'll listen to it. And so maybe you're here today and you've had enough of life. I can tell you, you could learn by her direction. She brought it to the Lord. So then we see in verse 11 her devotion. She vowed a vow and said, "Lord of hosts, if thou would indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid or me, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall not a razor come upon his head." We see not only her distress and her direction, but we see her devotion. She said, Lord, I'm willing to give back that to you that you've entrusted me with. Now, this, I want to show you something that's sort of underlined and under the pages of the Bible. This is a huge statement she just made. Could you imagine if the Lord would give you something that you've been praying for years, and then you realize God had been so good to you, you was willing just to give it back to Him? And so here we see that this was a vow of great devotion. But look in verse 12 now. As soon as she made this vow, there's some discouragement that comes to Hannah. The Bible said it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord, another Bible character comes up, and I'm going to speak about him a little bit. His name is Eli. He's the old priest who God has commissioned to stand in the holy place. Here he's to judge the people. He's to lead them in worship. So Eli, we find him here at the tabernacle or the temple where she comes to pray. And this is what he said to her. We see this discouragement. Look in verse 12. There's a lot there we can learn. It came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. That word means to observe the motion of her mouth. So he marked her mouth. He watched her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake, look, in her heart. I like what Kristen said today. I want to talk to you in my heart. Can I tell you, God knows what's in her heart. Now be careful what you tell people. I know what's in your heart, because only you know what's in your heart, and God knows what's in our heart. So Hannah, she spake in her heart, but look, only her lips moved. She couldn't get any message out, and her voice was not heard. And here's Eli again. Therefore, Eli thought she'd been drunken. He becomes judge and jury. This could teach us multitudes of things this morning. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away the wine from thee. And Hannah answered. And she said, no, my Lord, I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I've poured out my soul before the Lord. Aren't you glad we got a God that we can pour out our soul unto? And so here, Hannah was discouraged because somebody had accused her. Somebody had said what was going on, but they didn't know all the facts. That reminds me of Baptist folk. That they love to tell you the issue, but they don't know the facts. So she's talking to the Lord out of her heart, her lips moved. Eli says, well, you're just a drunken woman. And so we see here her discouragement. I've always noticed this. I want to say this to Kristen today. I want to say this to all of our young people serving the Lord. Anytime that you make a vow to God and you pour your heart out into God, you're going to be ridiculed. You're going to be discouraged because the devil's going to be sure he'll have somebody he can use to try to keep you from being used by the Lord of glory. Every time. So we see this discouragement. But oh, in verse 20, it's not the end of the story. There's her deliverance. God heard her prayer. Aren't you glad? Thank the God that can hear a prayer this morning. Hey, praying still matters in this day and this hour. So the Bible tells us in verse 20, her deliverance. Watch, wherefore it came to pass. It's very important in your Bible. I want you to underline it. When the time was come. God is all about timing. There's been people that I've wondered a lot of times, why hadn't God placed them in this ministry? You'd see them come in years later. It's all about timing. You wondered a lot of times why you didn't get that job. You wonder this or that. Let me tell you, God is very much involved in timing. And God keeps good time. So you just hold on to God. There's good things coming. So it came to pass when the time was come that after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I've asked him of the Lord. She was thrilled to death. Do you remember when God had answered your prayer and you showed so much emotion and you realized God heard what you prayed? So we see Samuel and his commencement, or how he got started. He came from, it seemed like, very fiery trials. Seems like that he came from such an upset circumstance. Can I tell you that circumstances does not affect the outcome with God? God brings people up out of the fire. It's the reason that you and I have had is for a reason and a purpose. It's been timely on God's account. God uses trials. God uses difficulties and discouragements. And so Samuel is brought up out of this environment. So now Samuel is a child. We pick this story up, not only Samuel's commencement, but now let's look at Samuel and his church. Samuel and his church. Chapter 1, verse 24. Samuel and his church. I want to show you something that's very impactful out of this passage. The Bible said, referring to Hannah, when she had weaned him, she took him up with her. Now, this is 1,000 years before Christ has come on the scene. She weaned him. She took him up with her. 3 bullocks and 1 ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. Samuel and church, I want to say, first of all, look at verse 24. The child was brought to church. He couldn't drive. I looked around Wednesday night and seen all the little children, very aware they cannot drive. And I commend you mothers and you fathers for bringing your children to the house of God. You know, isn't it a blessing when our little ones come and do their giving to Jesus every Sunday morning? That crowd of young'uns cannot drive. They are counting on you to get them here. Samuel was counting on his mother to get him to church. Samuel and his church, he was brought. Verse 24, this is a great nugget here. Not only was Samuel brought, but Samuel was taught. His mother brought bullocks and an ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, brought into the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. Verse 25, watch what happens. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. You say, preacher, you're talking about the child was taught. What are you talking about? His mother taught him there must be sacrifices made at the house of God. She brought a bullock. It's a sacrifice for you to get up in the mornings and get to the house of God. It's a sacrifice for you to get your children ready. It's a sacrifice to get to the house of God. And we must realize any time that we are bringing up a family, there's going to have to be a sacrifice. Not many mamas and daddies are willing to sacrifice for the things of God. Sunday is no day to lay in bed. Sunday's the day to get yourself up, get your family together. I don't care if their face isn't washed. I don't care if their teeth isn't brushed. I don't care if their hair's not combed. Get them to the house of God. Sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. This old flesh don't like church. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Quit feeding your flesh and feed the spirit on the things of God. Samuel and his church, he was brought, he was taught. But look in chapter 2, verse 18, Samuel was sought. This all happened around the church in chapter 2 and verse 18. Samuel ministered before the Lord being a child and girded with a linen ephod. And look what his mama does. And moreover, his mother that struck me, Renee, made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year. What's going on, preacher? She's asked God to give her a child. God gives her Samuel. God has been so good to her. And she said, God, you've entrusted me with this. You've been so good. I'm going to give back to you what you've given unto me. And Lord, it's going to be hard to leave Samuel with you from year to year. They would go there and worship. They would go back home. And she left little Samuel to minister in the temple under Eli's coaching. And Eli now is a young child. He's growing. No doubt as she brought him to the temple very young, she left him in the care of God. You say, well, how in the world could a mother leave her child with the Lord? Well, can I tell you, it always pays to give to God. Look at 1 Samuel 2 and verse 20. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, the Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went in their own house. And the Lord visited Hannah, and she conceived and bare. Look what God gave her. 3 sons and 2 daughters. What a trade. Can I tell you, you'll never outgive God. You will never, ever outgive God. She said, out of my heart, Lord, I'm going to give back to you that which you've entrusted me with. I want to ask y'all a question this morning. This is an old country preacher. Do any of y'all ever give back to God what He's given you? Don't you realize in the principle of giving to God and sacrificing and doing as He wants us to do, it does pay to serve God? No, I'm not going to be like the TV evangelist, say you're going to live in a new home, drive a nice car. But I'm going to tell you, honey, you will never outgive God. You'll have blessings that money cannot buy. And so here, Samuel and his commencement. Samuel and his church. So this is where I won't get to preaching. Samuel has been raised around the house of God. His mother seemed to it. It seems like, matter of fact, his mother seemed to it more than his daddy seemed to it. It seems like that the mother was more interested in keeping Samuel at the house of God than the daddy was. It seems like. So lastly this morning, we see Samuel and his commencement, Samuel and his church, but let's look at Samuel and his call. Samuel and his call. God's going to do something. You know why? Because God not only needed them, God wanted them. Let me tell you this morning, not only does God need you, He wants you. You can be used. Now, I want to ask you something. These little children that came and gave to Jesus this morning, Let's just look at simple reasoning, simple thinking. Don't you think these children have a better advantage of growing up and knowing Christ than those children that are never in church? Don't you think you're giving your children a greater opportunity than other children by having them planted in the house of God? There's 2-year-olds, I walk in, I've heard them say, amen. You see, I want to say this too. Samuel was trained around the house of God. He saw his mother praying. Does your children ever see you praying? Samuel seen his parents sacrificing. Does your children ever see you sacrificing for the cause of Christ? So it's put in him. He's put in the environment of the church life. And he's doing real good at it. But something's going to happen. And Brother Mike, which I believe with all of my heart needs to happen in many church people's life. They knew about the Lord, but he didn't know the Lord. He was simply brought in there as a young child. He was doing as he'd been taught. He knew the songs. He knew the preaching. He knew the pastor. He knew the people that would come in and sacrifice. But he did not know God personally. Let's watch the Bible on the call. Now, why was he needed so bad? Why was he needed so bad? Why did God need a Samuel, a prophet? Well, I want to say in chapter 2, verse 22, in this call, the leadership was relaxing. The leadership at the tabernacle was relaxing. Let's look at Eli, found in 1 Samuel 2 and verse 22. Now, Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto Israel, how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said to them, "Why do you such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, it is no good report that I hear you make the Lord's people to transgress." He said, "If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, he shall entreat for him. Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them." And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. In this call, the leadership was relaxing. You know what Eli was showing Samuel? He was showing Samuel that it's okay to get relaxed about sin. It's okay. It's the new culture. It's all right. Folks, let me tell you this morning, sin is still sin, and a hog is still a hog, and a dog is still a dog. The leadership in the church was relaxing. They would not call out sin. That's where we are in America. A preacher is ramrodded and run out on the norm. It's fine if you preach on Bible characters. It's fine if you preach on riddles and rhymes. But when you go to preach it on the sin in the sanctuary and the community, it takes it to another level. Sin is still sin. And the leadership had become relaxed about sin. And you know something? It was in his family. His boys, you know what they were doing? They had turned church into a business. And he said, he might have said something about it, but this is the issue. He didn't do nothing about it. The pastor is in charge at the local assembly. He's going to stand and give an account before God for what goes on in that place. And the man of God must stand against sin. We all have shortfalls. We all have failures. Aren't you glad God said if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness? The house of God is never intended to look like the world nor act like the world. Be a Christian. Have morals about you. You're going to see things come against the church that you've never seen. And I've been telling you that. In the new administrations, we preach now to a Facebook culture where people have become desensitized with sin. That's what was happening in Eli's generation. No, they didn't have Facebook. They had a lack of getting their face in the book. And so sin was desensitized. He said, "Boys, y'all not be doing that, but let's just have church." You can't have church acting like that. His call, the leadership was relaxing. Look in chapter 3, verse 1. The landscape was removing. It's very important what the Bible says right here. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And here it is. The word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. You know what that word precious means? It means a rarity. In other words, preaching was rare. Preaching's pretty scarce these days. Shake your little Baptist head up and down. The rarity of the Word of God going out. The landscape was removing. I'm reminded in the book of Amos chapter, this I'll read it, stay in my text. Amos chapter number 8 and verse number 11. Amos said something. He said, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I'll send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." You know what happened? God wasn't saying much. There was no open vision. The Word of God was so scarce. It was a rarity. And I want to say the landscape was removing. In this part of the country in the 60s and 70s, while you would have them preachers stand up, son, they'd get to hacking. They'd get to snotting. I mean, they'd get to breathing so hard you'd think they was going to suck the carpet up off the floor. But Samuel came up in a time when the landscape was removing. Can I tell you, it's still right to preach right. A man can preach the Bible and not be so mean and have an attitude about it and just let the Word of God talk. We live in such a desensitized society that don't you call out my sin, preacher. Because you're meddling. No, I'm not meddling. I'm just preaching the Word of God. This call, the leadership was relaxing. The landscape was removing. Look here, Liberty. Chapter 3, verse 3. The light was reflecting. The light was reflecting what was going on. And I don't know if many of you spiritually can see this or not. The Bible said, "Ere the lamp of God went out of the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep." Liberty, don't let the fire go out. The lamp was reflecting. You know, the lamp was just about to go out. And you know, when that lamp goes out, you know what's happening? It means more darkness is around everybody. We need the lamp of God burning in Liberty Baptist Church like it's never burned before. I'm not talking about being critical. I'm not talking about being judge and jury. I'm not talking about accusing people. I'm just talking about being a Christian and uplifting our Savior and live by this blessed book. The light was reflecting. Oh, how we need the light burning. We need the fire of preaching like we've never had it. We need the fire of praising like we've never had it. God deserves all of our honor and our praise. Let's don't let our fire go out in the temple this morning. We see that in Samuel's call, the leadership was relaxing, the landscape was removing, the light was reflecting. But I don't want to end on a negative note. But chapter 3, verse 4, you'll notice something happens. But the Lord is recruiting. The Lord come by. And I got on this earlier and I want to clear it up right now as I close this sermon. Samuel knew about the Lord, but he didn't know the Lord. So God's going to introduce himself to Samuel. And so this is what happens. He lays down in chapter 3 with Eli at night. They go to bed. God let Samuel get in the bed. I want to ask, has God ever spoke to you in the bed? A lot of you think, well, I'm just going to go and sleep it off. I don't know about y'all, but God goes to bed. I just don't close the door and leave God out. And so little Samuel laid down and the Lord speaks to him. We see the Lord recruiting. Chapter 3, verse 4. He said, "The Lord called unto Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me." He thought Eli was calling him. He thought the old priest was calling him. And the Lord called yet again Samuel, and Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. You see that? Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. And Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times. And here's our text phrase, and this is what he said. Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel in which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In other words, I'm going to rattle this country with what you've got to say. And that day I'll perform against Eli all things which I've spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I've told him that I will judge his house forever for iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. In other words, Eli did not remove his sons from office, and he should have had. Now, here's the end of the message. Samuel's commencement, Samuel's church, but Samuel's call. We see the Lord was recruiting. Then we see the lad was responding. But now in verse 14, look what Eli says to Samuel. The laws are reminding, and I'm done. Eli knew God had spoke to Samuel. And he was so unnerved, but yet I liked the way Eli worked with this young man of God. He didn't judge him. He didn't kick him to the curb. He said, Son, listen, if that's God talking to you, I want to help you understand. God will get through to you. Just keep listening to him. He encouraged him. But all of a sudden, a light went off in Eli's mind and his heart and said, God has told him something and I want to know what he said to him. So he goes to little Samuel, and this is what Samuel says. He simply says this. He asked him in verse 14, he says, I've sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house should not be purged with sacrifice or offering. And Samuel lay into the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. You see, Samuel's been seeing it all of his little life. He knew God had just told him what he's got to tell the old prophet. And he was dreading it. Matter of fact, he couldn't go back to sleep after the Lord woke him up. So he opened the doors of the temple. And look what it says. Verse 16. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, Here am I. And he said, What is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me, God, to do so to thee, more also if thou hide anything from me of the things that he said unto you. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, look what Eli responds, what he says. It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth good. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. You see, God's word never falls. What God says is going to come to pass. God had told Eli, he said, I'm going to judge your family because of your sin. And I want to say this today as your preacher. You be sure your sin will find you out. I don't want to label this as just a gesture, but many in our government think they're hiding so many things, but it's coming out. There's a lot of families think they're hiding many things, but you be sure of this. God's going to let it be exposed. There's a payday coming someday. And Jesus saves. And Jesus forgives. And mom and daddies, wouldn't it be a blessing? Wouldn't it be a blessing if God would entrust you to raise a Samuel? We hear right now children crying. Isn't that a blessing? We see children stirring and moving. Can you imagine what God can do with these children? keep them around the house of God. God still needs preachers. God still needs deacons. God still needs Sunday school teachers and singers. God wants those to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Can you imagine, even though that mother, Hannah, watched her young child Samuel walk in that tabernacle and would leave him year to year, bring him a new little coat in to see him. Can you imagine that mama's heart? And God give her so many more children. And can you imagine when Samuel got up, that mama said, "I'm so glad I gave you to the Lord. I'm so glad that God is using you to tell the truth and to speak to people's hearts." Kristen, I want you to come this morning. I want you to play. I'll get Kristen to sing again. I want you to play the piano this morning. You may be here today and you've been raised in church all your life, but you've never known the Lord. For the Bible said that he had been raised around the church, the tabernacle, but he didn't know the Lord. Has God ever called your name and made you aware of who He is? Well, there's a fountain that's filled with blood. Mom and daddies, don't get discouraged raising your children. Don't be discouraged with those that are yakking at you. Keep God in your focus. We're in this thing for the long haul. Sacrifices. Persistence. Look what Samuel became. A prophet of God. Oh, how God needed him. Brother Adam, the lamp was going out. I wish God had called 8 or 10 young men filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled with fire and would get interested in preaching. I wish God had called some young ladies to work in the service of God. The Lord came in speaking. Is He speaking to your heart this morning? Maybe you're here and you've never been saved. It'd be a great morning to come and trust Him by faith. Would you come? You may be hearing your adversaries provoked you sore. Won't you bring it to the Lord? Because He loves you. And He cares for you. Father, we bless You today for the good time at Your house. I thank You for Your Word. And God, may we always stand on truth. Keep the fire in the temple burning. Help us, God, to be good to people. Help us to exalt You. I pray You'd protect our flock. Lord, I know Your timing does matter. And I thank You right now in this day and this hour what You're doing, what You're working. And oh God, we need You so. I pray now You would give us traveling safety today and help us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.